Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson.
Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it to make sure you're always getting new Going In Raw content. Larson, sometimes I hear that people are unsubbed or denotified from their YouTube situations.
Not nice, YouTube.
So if you enjoy Going In Raw content and you want more, and you always don't want to miss anything, then by all means hit that subscribe and notify bell. Make sure that you are subscribed to Going In Raw.
Yes.
We're also available wherever fine podcast apps can be found. We're on most of the big podcast apps out there.
We are.
Including the iOS podcast app. If you really want to support Going In Raw in a way that doesn't drain your bank account or empty your wallet, you can always go and leave us a rating or a review. That always really, really helps the show.
It does.
We really, really appreciate it.
We do.
If you do have a couple extra bucks to throw around and you like some rewards, by all means, go to Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Good news, Larson. Patreon reversed their decision about charging patrons an additional fee. So, you know, we made our voices heard about this, and I think a lot of other creators and patrons, supporters out there did as well.
Yes.
So kudos to Patreon for listening to their customers, their clients, whatever you want to call them, the people supporting all these great causes, all these great programs and shows and artists and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so now, patrons, when you plunk down your $5...
It's only going to be $5.
It's only going to be $5. You put down $1. How much is it going to be, Larson?
$1.
That's right. $20, how much is it going to be?
$20.
What if somebody decided to put down $6.66 as a show of respect to
the devil?
It'll be $6.66.
I don't know why I would do that, man. Anyways, that was a lot of fun. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com. One day I want Baron Corbin to wear the shirt.
Hey.
But in the meantime, if he doesn't wear it, you guys can wear it. It's only like $19.99 at Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yes.
We also have, like that, you want to wear Larson's face on... See, you should wear your face on your body. Your face under your
face. I know.
Face.
I need to wear that shirt tomorrow.
I got to get a couple of these shirts, and then this one not going to happen.
Yeah.
Somebody says... Hey, man, can you spare a couple dollars? All you got to do is not going to happen. I don't know why you'd be so rude.
Yeah, that's pretty rude.
You know, just say, I'm sorry, I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I would actually say.
I usually say, no, I'm sorry, I don't carry cash, but good luck to you.
Yeah, that's what I say, too.
You know, my heart, my thoughts and prayers really do help when people are asking me for money, Larson. Anyways,
let's talk about Clash of Champions 2017. We got a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. We'll be live streaming our reaction starting at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we need to give our predictions for Clash of Champions 2017.
It's kind of a prereq these days. If you have a YouTube show that's wrestling-based, you have to give your predictions.
Yeah, you have to give your predictions on a predetermined sporting event.
All the cool kids do it, man. We're all a bunch of nerds. We're not cool.
No.
Man, I wish I was cool. You know what I wish I did when I was a teenager? I got a nerdy job at Sears because my mom had an in there. because she worked there.
Yeah.
I wish I had, but Lacey, my wife, she had like a cool job working at like
a record store?
Vaca Music.
Yeah, a record store. Like, I wish I'd done that too.
Right? Or like a comic book store. Found someplace cool to work.
I delivered phone books for a while.
Yeah, I also didn't, I'm not sure that's not really cool.
No, sounds, it's not cool.
That sounds difficult.
Yeah.
Because I did almost the same thing. I had like a minor newspaper route. But then my dad just sort of took it over for me because I got lazy and he was like, man, these things need to get delivered. I'm like, go ahead, Dad. Then he still gave me like half the money. I know. It's terrible. My dad was generous. Dad was teaching me bad lessons, apparently. Anyways, I'm hard working out, though, Larson.
Yeah.
Because I sit here and talk about wrestling
all day.
Anyways,
on the pre-show.
This blows my mind.
Why is this on the pre-show?
Why is this on the pre? Why is there a pre? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's only 6 matches on the main card.
They've been announced so far. We're shooting this Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Of course, this is going to go up Thursday, so we kind of need to shoot it Wednesday morning. But nonetheless, yes, on the pre-show, we have Mojo Rawley taking on his former tag team partner, former hype bro,
Zack
Ryder.
This is a hot, hot story,
really,
man.
Is. Massive heel turn that happened just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man.
It's just dumped
on
the pre-show.
In the pantheon of huge heel turns.
Oh, this is just barely below Shawn Michaels' turn on Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
Just below that.
But I'm thinking, you know, it's just below Hogan turning on Hulkamania, you know, joining the New World Order of wrestling.
Gotcha. In terms of heel turns, not just tag team heel turns.
Oh, this is up there. This transcends tag team heel
turns. Why isn't this the main event of Clash of Champions?
It's pretty far.
Put a belt on Mojo immediately. Make this a title match.
This is something we saw coming for a very long time. It was probably in the works for a very long time. They finally pulled the trigger on it after another defeat to, the Bludgeon Brothers, who are, come on, they're kind of my favorite thing right now.
They're wrecking everybody right now.
Number one, I love their theme song.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's very catchy.
They've done a really good job of finding interesting enhancement talent to go against them.
You okay?
Flying around my microphone.
That's weird.
Like the team this week. Just their general presence, their faces.
That was great.
Great.
Well, one of them was Colin Delaney.
From ECW, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And the other guy screamed when he got powerbombed.
That was amazing.
That was fantastic. Both of them, just great characters.
But they sort of spurred the heel turn.
Yeah, they hastened it.
Mm-hmm. That was gross, man. I'm sorry. I just coughed up something gnarly. Talk about this a little bit.
All right. So, as you just said, this is a hot feud. Massive heel turn by Mojo Rawley. Why this match is on the pre-show, I have no idea. But I think the ship has sailed on Zack Ryder being anything more than maybe a mid-carder in WWE. This feud is all to get Mojo over as a heel.
Absolutely.
So Mojo's going to win.
I'm going to say this. Zack Ryder's going to win via DQ because Mojo does something. He either goes overboard, which is not out of the realm of possibility for Mojo Rawley, but I feel like just the straight clean win for Mojo Rawley feels a little off. I think they're going to extend this a little bit because what else is Mojo going to do? Who else is he going to go further heel on?
Jinder.
Wow. I mean, he could attack Jinder next, but that's
I mean, they have history.
I feel like it's down. That's down the road. They do have history. Gronk.
Yeah, he's going to turn heel on Gronk.
There you go. I feel like that's kind of down the road. I think Zack Ryder wins, but it's going to be like by DQ. Like he's not going to pick up a clean win on Mojo. This is going to a count out, something weird like that. So I think Zack Ryder, in the end, I think Zack Ryder is declared the winner of this bout, although Mojo is going to be the guy who has the upper hand.
All right.
You know, who looks strong. So that's my prediction here.
We both think Mojo will look strong and dominate.
We both think, Mojo. I mean,
he might not get the actual win, but he'll get
the
win.
We both agree. Mojo, this is designed to get Mojo over, launch him into the future as future cornerstone foundation guy for a brand.
Of the mid-card.
Of the lower mid-card.
Well, I'll give him mid-card.
There isn't really a lower or mid or... There's no lower mid, mid-mid, or upper mid anymore.
No, it's just upper card.
Exactly.
Main eventer. And then there's lower card.
Right.
There really isn't much of a mid-card these days on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Next. Fatal 4-Way match. For the SmackDown Tag Team titles,
we have Wild Card Finals.
The Usos against The New Day, against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, against Rusev and Aiden English.
All right. Who do you think is going to win this, man?
I think Gable and Benjamin are going to win this.
I'm going to go
and
ahead.
Here's
go
why.
Ahead, go
this
ahead.
Is my reasoning. I thought of this last night watching the show. A lot of times when they add a participant to a match, it's because they want to protect everybody else in the match, so that last team added is going to take the pin.
Okay.
So I feel like They want to establish Gable and Benjamin as top heel team on SmackDown because New Day are faces. Usos are tweeners at most, but they're pretty much faces now.
Yeah.
So they need to establish a strong heel tag team.
Interesting, okay.
Rusev and English, as much as I love their work, they're a comedy act at this point.
Yeah.
So Gable and Benjamin, they want to establish them as a dominant heel tag team. But they don't want the Usos to take a pin or the New Day.
Interesting.
So they put Rusev and English in the match so Aiden English can eat a pin.
Okay.
So I mean, my feeling is that they want to put those belts back on the New Day sometime between now and Mania, Mania at the latest, without making the Usos look weak or necessarily having the New Day and the Usos necessarily feud over the belts because they have an Us truce.
Mm-hmm.
So Gable and Benjamin getting those belts, they'll take on the Usos at the Rumble maybe for the rematch, and then maybe New Day at Mania.
That all is a very well laid out plan. It's smart.
It's my most thought out prediction of this whole card.
It follows perfect logic. But what do we know about the WWE?
They don't follow logic. I know.
No, it's going to be Rusev and Aiden English. It's going to be one of those weird things. You know, sometimes WWE just does weird things, and we need a weird thing to happen here. So I like your plan. Makes complete and total sense. Makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
I have this gut feeling it's going to be Rusev and Aiden English.
Well, I mean, they have a tendency to underutilize Rusev, which we've seen in the past. If rumors are true, this year he was supposed to have Jinder's role.
Yeah.
And he was at least supposed to be in Money in the Bank, if not win it.
Yeah.
And neither of those things came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like WWE necessarily has huge aspirations for Rusev, which is a completely incorrect assumption to have.
Yeah.
But Rusev is great.
Yeah.
And the pairing of him and Aiden English is great.
So let me ask you this, though. Even though they're a comedy act, I feel like they have... It's kind of like the Heath Slater and Rhino thing. Sometimes they like to run with, like, the thing that's kind of more over than the thing that they want to do.
Yeah, sometimes, but not a whole lot.
It's not a whole lot, but, like, I think they understand there's some money in Rusev. Look, I'm not going to get into their head. I'm not going to get into Vince's head. And I'm not even going to try to claim there's any logic to this. But I just kind of feel like Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin aren't doing what they should be doing. I think there's just an... remember how much chemistry there was between Gable and Jason Jordan outside of the ring? I mean, inside the ring and outside the ring. I feel like outside of the ring, that chemistry doesn't exist with Gable and Shelton Benjamin
yet.
No, and it's, not yet. And
it's better than it was when they first were teamed up.
Yeah, mildly, though. And I feel like if they're going to do what you're saying, which I think is a great plan, follows perfect logic, I feel like they need to be a bit more over than they are. And I just feel like Rusev and Aiden English come off as this pair who have zero pressure on them because they know that WWE's not doing anything with them. And that's really endearing to people.
I feel like Rusev and English are the new fashion police.
Yeah, I know. And they should have put the titles on the fashion police
at some
point.
Yeah, they had opportunity.
And they might do it now. I don't know.
No,
this is a big toss-up.
But here's another thing.
I think it's a big toss-up.
Here's another thing. Who stood tall during the tag team match on SmackDown? English. He got the pin over, I think, Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, but come on. Math is
algorithm. Monkey. Algorithm holds true here.
Algorithm does not apply to any fatal four-way.
Well, it does in this case because Rusev and English are not winning the match.
All right. Hey, look. You're probably right.
I appreciate the fact that you're going out on a limb.
You're probably right. Rusev and English, they've got this thing right now that I think it's going to be one of those things where they kind of steal the thunder of, or they're stealing the thunder of Gable and Benjamin. Front office probably realizes that. And so they're just going to say, hey, let's just put it on them. And they can be the ones that transition back to the New Day.
Could be.
So, anyways, that's my thought. Next up. How's their theme song go?
Darn it.
No, that's Roman.
No, that's Roman.
Darn it.
That's something else.
That's Metallica,
yeah. It's Metallica's one.
You're doing one.
I can hear it.
It was also kind of We the People. It was kind of Jack Swagger.
But I was thinking in like with a metal edge to it. But I was doing the chorus.
That's Roman. I don't know. But anyways, I mean, Bludgeon Brothers. Wait, are they watching our show or what? Do they watch Steven Larson Books Raw? We just did this.
Oh, I know.
On episode 2, it's available right now on twitch.tv/Steven Larson. It's got a 1-week exclusive window.
On Twitch, yeah.
On Twitch. Bludgeon Brothers. The only question is, how fast is it going to go? Right?
Let's do an over-under. 2 minutes. Bell to bell.
It's... Well, I mean, the one last night almost went 2 minutes. Is this, I mean, they're not going to – well, it was 2 minutes of squash, but, I mean, technically in the, you know, in the span of time, I'm pretty sure it was probably around 2 or 3 minutes. It was all squashing.
Yeah, it was squashing.
I mean, it's kind of an over-under. I would say 3 minutes is probably. But, I mean, that's your over-under right there.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be quicker than that?
No, I think they're going to give Fashion Police some character moments.
I think so. I think you're right about that. Is Fashion Police going to be full comedy? Are they going to be doing the thing where they're switching in and out of costumes and stuff?
Ideally.
Ideally, yeah, but I kind of feel like they're going to have them be a bit more scared.
Here's another thing that might happen is the Ascension will get involved and somehow get Fashion Police's proxy. Yeah. They'll take Fashion Police's place in the match, and they'll be the ones to get squashed.
Oh, yeah, that could happen, in which case it's probably going to be under 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That could totally happen. I feel like this Clash of Champions is going to be a glorified SmackDown.
Yeah,
this is a wild card final.
Wild card final was a good show, Steve.
Maybe, yeah, it was a really good show.
Oh! Regardless who Bludgeon Brothers face, they're going to win in decisive fashion. They're going to destroy, whether it's Fashion Police or the Ascension.
Yeah.
It's going to be just pure destruction.
2B goes over.
Yeah. Next, for the United States Championship, champion Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. I said this like earlier this week, if not last week, Dolph's in this match to eat the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to happen is Bobby Roode hits glorious DDT.
Baron comes in, throws him off, and takes and gets the pin. I can't think of a better. I mean, that's the scenario that's going to play out. That happens. So, yeah, Baron retains.
Then we'll see Bobby and Baron again at the Rumble. And then we'll see if Bobby actually takes that belt off him then.
He's like Bobby. He's,
why is he just robe at ringside?
We'll talk about it.
Like he can't go in the ring wearing a suit and drop a couple DDTs on people.
I know, right? I know he's done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
It's so annoying. Next
up. Those robes are heavy, too. They may look plush, but I doubt they're that comfortable.
They're made for one thing, dude. They're made for showing up at the top of the ramp.
With a bunch of light on it.
Like, you put it on at Gorilla. You go out there, you do this, you maybe spin around or whatever.
Yeah, there's a bunch of lights on you with like flare filters on it, on the camera lens.
You walk down.
So you look like you're luminescent, basically.
You look like you're quantum leaping.
Yeah.
Then you get down there, you take it off, and that's it. That's it. You should never have it on backstage. You should never have it on at commentary.
No.
Oh, my God.
Wear a suit, please. I know.
Next. For the women's SmackDown Women's Championship.
Oh, this is a lumberjack match, too.
A lumberjill match.
Yeah, sorry.
Or is it Jane?
I don't know.
I think it was a lumberjack. Charlotte, the champion, versus Natalya.
Correct.
Yeah, Charlotte's winning.
Oh, yeah, Charlotte's winning.
Yeah, there's this sort of a formality.
But what do you think's next for Charlotte?
I don't know. Maybe Rumble. The Riot Squad. Well, Rumble's going to be everybody, right? That's going to be Rumble.
Well, I mean, she might have a title defense at the Rumble. She'll have a title defense.
Yeah,
and then,
that's a good point.
And then Alexa Bliss will have a title defense. But then everybody else will be in the Rumble.
Now I have Metallica's One stuck in my head.
Good song.
No, I'm happy about it. You know, just sharing that with people. Hold my breath as I wait for it. They're not going to demonetize us for me singing it.
Don't know.
Metallica would, I think, have to come after me. But YouTube wouldn't come after
me. Yeah, they would.
No, their bots are the one that...
Yeah, no, they would demonetize the video.
Their bots wouldn't demonetize. They don't know that I'm not James Hetfield.
Doesn't matter if you're James Hetfield. Not
they
if
would
if
know.
You're, if you're singing they an unauthorized
they
version.
They would know.
But that's the material. They just know the melody of the song.
If you're from singing, me singing it?
Yeah, if you're singing an unauthorized version of the song, like you didn't get written permission from Metallica to perform that song publicly, then you could get demonetized.
The bots don't know that.
You don't know they don't know that.
They're not that sophisticated. Have you seen like how they subtitle our show?
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's horrible.
It's awful.
They have no idea what I'm doing.
Anyways, yeah, Charlotte's winning this match.
Charlotte's totally going over.
Yeah. And the lumber Jill aspect is just really to build to the Rumble.
Rumble. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of women brawling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of Riot Squad versus, you know, the former members of the Welcoming Committee. And then we saw Naomi come back this week, so she'll get involved, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like the Riot Squad there's not really a lot going on there. I'm not sure how long they're really going to stick together.
I know.
You know, I don't really feel like a big deal. I mean, Sarah Logan's a great, great wrestler. Liv Morgan is what she is. I just like Ruby Riott. You know, she should be a foundational piece.
Agreed.
Cornerstone of the mid-card division.
Yes.
Next. Big tag match. Randy, again, how is there even a pre-show on this?
Yeah,
You've got a fatal four-way featuring eight people, and then you have five main eventers in this Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn kind of co-main eventish thing. Or it could be the actual main event.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the A story. So Daniel Bryan inserted himself as guest referee.
Second special guest referee.
I'm sorry, second
special guest referee. So both Shane and Daniel Bryan are special guest referees in this match.
Is somebody even going to, like, is Shane going to end up pushing Daniel Bryan?
Because I feel that would involve Daniel Bryan taking a bump, so I don't think so.
A push won't.
I think Shane would be the one taking a bump.
Like, just a, hey, man, you're not me.
You're not me.
That's what the ref does. Remember, he goes, you're not me.
And he points at the ref shirt and
sometimes
the badge.
He points at it. Sometimes he grabs it and he does this.
But if you really want to make your point, you do both.
You do. Oh, yeah.
You tug at the jersey this. And then show the badge here. That says WWE official.
Hey, man. So I could see like a light push, but not like a flat back bump. Like,
yeah.
Well, you get pushed, you're not going to do a bump necessarily.
Well, depends who's doing the pushing.
I mean, if Braun pushes you, yes.
Yeah.
If James Ellsworth pushes you,
no.
You probably won't even move.
But James Ellsworth isn't in this match.
Let me ask you something. What pushes harder, James Ellsworth or walking into JCPenney?
Oh, I mean the contraption they have.
Is that Mervyn's?
Mervyn's. To keep the bugs out of the building. Yeah.
Mervyn's, yeah. You walk in.
Or at Starbucks, they have that too, where they open the drive-through window. And it blows air on you to keep the bugs out of the establishment.
Yeah.
The contraption that keeps the bugs out.
The wind.
Yeah, blow
the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like they're aiming for complexity a bit with the storyline, but it feels convoluted.
I don't think there's any chance that Daniel Bryan is in this match and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn loses this match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to be the thing.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, that's the scenario that we literally just saw played out.
Yeah.
On SmackDown, so are they just going to repeat that scenario?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they will, too, but this time with Shane McMahon there.
Yeah, Shane McMahon's going to be in the role of ref that gets hit and takes the bump.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan's going to be in a position where he's forced, I mean, not necessarily that Owens or Zayn hit Shane out of malice or is just accidental. Maybe it is with malice. Who knows? But Daniel Bryan's going to be in a position where he feels like, as an impartial referee, he has to make that pinfall, count the pinfall, and then Shane's got a problem with it on the following SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't even know if... I mean, the way that Daniel Bryan... It's actually been kind of interesting how they've built up Daniel Bryan in this whole thing. Because when he's on commentary, he talks about, you know, yeah, Kevin Owens, no, you know, 15 years ago, he was trying to poke my eyes out.
He talked about him and Nakamura being roommates.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, on one hand, he's... relating to and kind of living almost vicariously through Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn because of the, you know, the brotherhood of the
they have in terms of working their indies forever. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And so there is that element there of he's trying to kind of protect them, but at the same time, he's like, you guys are kind of acting like jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's assuring them, look, you will succeed or fail based on your merits, not on Shane McMahon having it out for you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a second guest referee or a second special guest referee. So it's been kind of interesting. It's like, well, he doesn't really have allegiances.
No.
But he kind of maybe does. So this is actually going to be kind of an interesting match. You agree with me, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn was in the promotional materials for Mixed Match Challenge.
Hey, they can always rescind his opportunity.
No, he's going to be in the...
That's
he was announced as one of the participants.
His opportunity can be resolved.
No, he'll be in it.
Yeah, because he's not going to get fired here.
No.
This,
you know, there is some intrigue in this match.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly not, I don't think necessarily to see whether Owens and Zayn are going to get fired. I think it's just what role Daniel Bryan's going to play in this whole saga.
Kind of a bummer that the faces in this, I guess at this point you consider Orton and Shinsuke faces, are just kind of avatars. They're just kind of, you know, in place of Shane McMahon, mm-hmm. I guess.
It was interesting last night on SmackDown hearing Daniel Bryan and Byron Saxton go at it.
Yeah.
In a similar vein.
Yeah.
Where Daniel Bryan was pretty much accusing Saxton of being you know, more or less a mouthpiece for the company.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I prefer my matches to have, like, competitors. I mean, obviously, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have something at stake. But, like, Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura, what is even... I mean, I know Randy Orton gave that interview last night where he said, you know, they're self-entitled, they're, you know, this, they're that. That's a reason why you want to get your fellow worker fired.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's like for him, he's more or less completely dropped the revenge aspect of it because they cost Team SmackDown the match at Survivor Series.
Yeah, he's saying these guys should lose their jobs because we don't like them in the locker room.
Yeah.
That's kind of a thin, motivation to want a guy to lose his job.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's wrestling, but at the same time, you know, there's the age-old tradition of, you know, career versus career matches or loser leaves town matches.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would think that they would have some more motivation, some apprehension beyond they're self-entitled and I want them out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to fight for these guys. Like, they're going to lose their jobs.
That's because you think they're self-centered.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Kind of weird.
Essentially ambitious.
Yeah. Like, it would have been cool if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn actually did something to Shinsuke and Randy Orton.
Beyond just the Survivor Series thing.
Yeah, because, on, that's so far in the past at this point.
Yeah, I know, they barely even mentioned it now.
It's like nobody even brought up.
Shane's the only one that really is still hung up about that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Anyways.
Our main event.
Probably our main event?
Yeah, I hope so. It should be. Your WWE champion, my WWE champion, AJ Styles.
The WWE
champion. Yes, everybody's WWE champion.
Yeah.
AJ Styles taking on Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
AJ is going to win.
Yeah, AJ is totally going to win here.
He's so over right now.
Oh, I know, man. It's great. He's so great. I like that new belt.
It's good. I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out. It's a very subtle change.
I don't think I necessarily noticed it until somebody on Twitter, one of our friendos on Twitter, I forget who it is, I apologize, said, hey, is it just me or is this belt losing the red swish? Because he had like the black light or something on him when he came out, the like extreme blue light rather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went back and I was like, holy crap, look at that.
Yeah.
Looks cool, man.
It does look good.
It's like a great-looking belt.
It is.
Anyways.
But hopefully AJ can get a match out of Jinder comparable to what he got out of Brock, something exciting. And then you know, like the subterfuge, the Singh brothers tried on AJ last night on SmackDown.
I loved it.
It was great.
Freaking love those guys. They crack me up.
Yeah, they do.
We want to be in your corner, AJ.
It's like, what are you talking about?
And then, hey, tell me House Show isn't canon. It totally is canon
I know,
man. Because it's social. And AJ even pointed out why.
Yeah.
He said, you know, social media, man. Cameras are everywhere.
Yeah. AJ was super charming on SmackDown last night.
Oh, God, he's so great, man. He's so awesome. Anyways, yeah, AJ goes over here. I don't know where Jinder goes from here. I don't know. Maybe he'll be in the Rumble or something.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely be in the Rumble.
I will be in the Rumble. Where I will talk to my people in my language. Anyways, that's it for our predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, let's get some out music here.
Yeah, out music.
Out music. Yeah, there we go, some music for you. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.